We'd like to invite, thank you for all coming to the Plainville Bethpage Board Meeting of May 13th. I'd like to begin by asking everybody to please stand for the pledge. Susan?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We are going to take the meeting a little bit out of order. We're going to start with a brief budget hearing, and then we're going to go in for the student government to tell us about their constitutional changes.
Okay, welcome to the budget hearing for the 2019-2020 budget. Usually I do my presentations facing the board, but tonight this is the budget hearing. And the budget hearing is just that, a meeting at which you hear about the budget. At this point in time, the board cannot make any changes to the budget. It's an opportunity to hear a general overview of the proposed budget that is being put before voters on May 21st, and also to ask any questions that you may have. Let's see. I have to make sure I'm using the right keyboard since I have two of them. And something that works. Okay, so we have many things to celebrate in Plainview Old Bethpage that have been a product of our community and really their support in education. And we can go through this list. I have seen many of your faces before at several budget presentations, so I will move past this slide. The budget is a cycle, a 12-month cycle. Right now we're approaching the budget vote in May 21st. We went through a period of time in February, March, and April where the Board of Education had a series of meetings where they discussed the proposed budget publicly, made amendments to the budget, and then eventually adopted the budget that voters are going to opine on. Plainview Old Bethpage is one of the few school districts on Long Island that is experiencing enrollment growth. We have had a trend of enrollment growth over successive years now. Going into the next fiscal year, we're expecting a growth in enrollment of 75 students. You can see that there's a smaller projected enrollment growth on grades K through 4, but we also have had a series of conversations through the year of how we see the enrollment growth shifting kind of to the west side of our district, and you'll see parts of our budget addressing that. The proposed budget carries a budget-to-budget increase of 3.3% over this year, a proposed tax levy of 1.99%, and that is well below our allowable tax levy of 3.45% as computed under the tax levy limit law. It comes in a little over $1.8 million under the allowable tax levy. The budget can be broken down into three parts. The smallest part is administration, capital, which covers everything from building construction to day-to-day operations such as building maintenance, cleaning, utilities, keeping the lights on, fuel, et cetera. But the largest portion of the budget is for program, and those program dollars go towards directly educating and supporting our students. We can break the budget down into small parts. If you look at this donut chart, salaries and related payroll taxes and benefits account for over 75% of this donut chart. And then there are other small pieces such as debt service, which has been a topic of conversation here over the last several years, and the work that has been supported by the debt service that accounts for about 3% of our budget. Technology and everything we've done with that continue. The annual refreshes accounts for about 2% of the budget. And then we look at a piece of the budget that amounts to about $10.4 million, which is the dollars that we calculate allow us to provide more than just the basic education here in Plainview Old Bethpage, but really an enhanced education, and helps our students achieve in many ways at all levels in academics, the arts, and the athletics. The proposed budget supports continues to focus on social-emotional growth, with the implementation of a K-12 mental health curriculum, the addition of a mental health interventionist for students K-12, and really that's a position that we gear towards having, at least in part, having hours beyond the school day to support students who might need emotional support outside the school day and along with the families they're with, and also to give our existing faculty tools to help support our students during the school day. We also look to add a behaviorist targeted towards grades K-4. That position, we already have two in the district. This would make a third. Supports mostly high-need special education situations, supporting students, and also the teachers as they educate those students. Growing or continuing our partnership with the Sandy Hook Promise and having a full implementation of that, and also giving our students with special needs interscholastic sports opportunities through the addition of a new Challenger soccer program. We look for the full implementation of Go Math on grades K through 4, start a partnership with Columbia Teachers College for reading and writing in grades K through 4, add additional Discovery Lab experiences in grades K through 4. On the next slide, you'll also see we'll extend that to grades 5 and 6, and provide additional resources to support our very popular STEAM night. In the middle school, we're adding psychological support in part to account for our enrollment shift in the district, and also expand the Dean of Students position at POB Middle School. Several years ago, we installed music labs at our two middle schools that has been used for seventh graders. We're looking to expand that experience into eighth grade music as well. Increased access to virtual field trips, full implementation of Leader in Me, and developing news literacy and integrating that in our classes through a partnership with Stony Brook University. And also expanding Discovery Lab field trips to grades 5 and 6. We see that Discovery Lab experience actually happening here in Matlin Middle School. High school, enriched electives. Very excited to offer AP art history, a bit of a rarity in school districts. Implementation of public speaking as a graduation requirement. We've talked about that a bit, and we'll have some more about that over the next couple of meetings. Education and news literacy, and the addition of college engineering. We're also looking to grow our partnerships with local colleges and university and add increased funding for competitions as our students continue to experience success outside the schools and travel far. For facilities improvements supported by Proposition 1, the installation of automated door access for improved security. We already have that in three schools, Pasadena, Judy Jacobs Parkway, and Old Bethpage. We look to implement that that system where we are using electronic door access or ID cards to go into our interior doors. It provides much greater security and gives us true one-button lockdown capability. Reconfiguration of space at POB Middle School to address our enrollment challenges. Renovation of POB Middle School science prep rooms. If you recall, last summer we renovated all of our middle school science labs. Matlin's prep rooms were rebuilt. However, POB Middle Schools were not rebuilt at that time, and we're looking to bring them out of the 1950s and into essentially the year 2020. Renovations in POB JFK High School cafeteria to be more suitable to student needs and also to simply freshen it up, and swapping out some furniture in the Matlin Middle School cafeteria. With safety and security, one of the things we heard, a common theme in our meetings around the district during the course of the year, is that we've improved our security during the school day in the sense that we have one door access. Visitors have to identify themselves. There's a screening process, and we know where they're going. But once people come after school hours, that system no longer exists. So we've added staffing for after school hours, and evening activities to improve our security access outside the school day, and also to expand our security camera coverage, mostly outside the school building. All of that is in Proposition 1, yes or no, on the school budget. On the ballot is also a Proposition 2, authorization to expend up to $7 million from the 2017 Capital Reserve. The funding for the 2017 Capital Reserve was approved by voters in 2017. Now we have to come back with a second proposition asking for authorization to expend for a slate of projects that include the expansion of Pasadena of up to 4,000 square feet. For those of you who are familiar with the expansion currently going on at Old Bethpage Elementary School, it's essentially the same size. Two classrooms, two smaller instructional spaces, and the hallway that connects them. Also, the replacement of fire alarms at our elementary schools and our two middle schools. JFK High School is not on that list because we replaced that fire alarm system last year. The remaining fire alarms in the district, their brains really date back to the 1970s, and it's time to overhaul and replace those systems. All of our buildings were originally designed with emergency generators. The emergency generators in our elementary schools and Matlin Middle School are original to the building and are no longer operational. We would like to replace those emergency generators to keep our alarm systems up and running, keeping a boiler running if power goes out when the weather is cold, and giving us the ability to continue to communicate with our community even after power goes out and give our students a safe place to shelter if necessary. The budget vote is Tuesday, May 21st. We have new voting sites. If you are in the zones of the community where you would send your students, your children to Pasadena, Stratford Road, or POB Middle School as attendance zones, you will vote in Jamaica Avenue. If your attendance zones are Old Bethpage, Judy Jacobs, or here, Matlin Middle School, then you'll vote right here in the atrium at Matlin Middle School right outside this room. With that, are there any questions?
The floor is open. Budget, questions only. Okay, the budget hearing is over and we will now go into our regular meeting. I would just like to take one thing out of order, and I'd like to have a motion on probationary appointment administrative staff, 7.1. On the motion, Debbie, second Jody, all in favor. So moved.
By action of the Board of Education, you've just appointed Diana Beltrani, Assistant Principal at JFK High School.
Why don't you stand up? Congratulations. And we also have 7.2 probationary appointments, professional staff on 7.2. Susan, second. Rennell, all in favor? So moved.
Once again, by action of the Board of Education, we have just appointed three new teachers to the Plainview Old Bethpage team. Joan Bukowski, Physical Education and Health, Matlin Middle School. Simone Strauss, Family and Consumer Science, JFK High School and POB Middle School. And Patricia Yale, Music at OB and Stratford Road. Are any of you here? There we go.
Okay. Welcome.
Welcome, Simone. Thank you.
Yeah, you want to bring your chairs up? We're going to now hear from our student government about some constitutional changes. If you want to bring your chairs up, and you can sit right up at the table. Sure. We need another chair? No, they're sort of all caught up in that.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
Good evening, everybody. First off, happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers on the board.
Thank you.
And in our audience tonight. I would just like to take a moment just to introduce our students from our student government who are going to be speaking to you tonight. In just a moment, they're going to introduce themselves and tell you their grades and their positions that they hold. I just wanted to share with you, I've gotten to work with them very closely, especially over this past week, although even prior to that, I've been working with them, of course, throughout the year. But they worked really very hard being very reflective and in trying to do what they thought was in the best interest of our student government to try and increase student interest and in the voting process and becoming officers and taking on leadership positions in the school. So I would also, of course, like to acknowledge Mr. Miller, their advisor for the student government, who has been working with them as well. So with that, without further ado, I'm going to introduce Jack, who will start off, I believe, right? Oh, no, I'm sorry. Joey Klein. Are you coming up here?
Sure. Good evening, Board of Education. My name is Joey Klein, and I am the current president for our sophomore class here at the high school. Just to start, we just want you all to know our intentions were never malicious. Our goal was always just to try to increase involvement in the community, in our student government system, to try to get more people interested and try to better us as a whole government, really. We never wanted to try to take away student voting rights or anything like that. Our presentation is basically broken down to three components. We're going to start by sharing with everybody the current constitution as it says for the past 3 years that we've been implementing. Then we're going to segue into some of the problems that we felt as a whole towards government and some potential resolutions. And then we have a slide with some potential compromises. So we really just want you all to, you know, read all of our information. We think it's beneficial. And once again, this was all a student initiative. It was not any administrators in our building. And with that further ado, I'll hand it over to Mr. Jack Rothman.
Can we just go down and introduce everybody so that we know who's who?
Hi, my name is Alexa Appison. I'm a senior and the secretary for the executive board.
Jack Rothman, 12th grade executive board president.
I'm Dylan Rayner, and I'm the vice president of the executive board, and I'm a senior.
I'm Emily Masleman. I'm a junior, and I'm the PR secretary on executive board.
I'm Andrew Zeltler. I am the PR secretary for the junior class.
I'm Atul Guerra. I'm also a junior. I am the vice president of the junior class.
I'm Eden Greenberg. I'm a senior, and I am the board of ed representative of the executive board.
We have no freshmen?
The president is right there.
Okay.
The freshman class board decided not to participate. All the grade boards were invited to our multiple meetings.
Okay.
Okay, so this first part of our presentation is a brief outline of our current student government constitution. Both this version and the version with the proposed changes can be found on our website. So this is the preamble to our constitution, which states, "We, the students of Plainview Old Bethpage John F. Kennedy High School, do hereby establish a representative student government to ensure student rights, protect student privileges, and define student responsibilities. In doing so, we dedicate our government to the well-being of the student body." So this serves to establish our goal as a government in order to benefit the well-being of the students. Section 1 serves to more formally establish a representative government in which elective officials serve in order to represent the issues and concerns of these students. Section 2 outlines the specific positions for the four grade boards and also includes some requirements for running for these specific positions. Section 3 discusses the positions and requirements for executive board. The key difference here is there's a sixth position, the Board of Ed Rep, who comes and speaks at these meetings on our behalf. And an additional requirement is a prior year of student government experience to run for any of these positions. Section 4 goes into a bit more detail about the specific roles of the positions, and even though here it does specify some differences in their jobs, a lot of the roles are similar in the fact that everyone works as a team to contribute to the board. And this fifth section states that all positions serve one-year terms, and each position is open to re-election at the end of each school year. Incoming freshmen have their elections at the beginning of the year, right when they come to school, and they serve for that entirety of the freshman year. And also Session 6 states that anyone running needs approval from the student government advisor.
So I'm going to explain how the current process is for elections. This is prior to the amendments that we hope to make, which will benefit the student body as a whole. So just to clarify, this is what is currently in place before our amendments. So elections take place normally in either May or June. This occurs for the sophomores, juniors, and seniors, along with the executive board. Prior to elections, there is an informational meeting that occurs in May or June. This is to explain all the responsibilities of a board member and instructs them to write a speech, which will be presented to their boards for during the election. So only rising juniors, so people going into junior year, and rising seniors, which are people going into senior year, are permitted to run for executive board, which is the board for the whole school. So that excludes all freshmen and sophomores. So for each position on board, there is a speech that must be made, like I stated earlier. However, in some occurrences, instead of having a live speech being made, there will be a video presentation where the candidates will be asked to create a video of their speech. This normally occurs if there is not enough interest in student government and it would not constitute an assembly period for the election process. So in their social studies classes, the videos of their speeches will be presented to the class as a whole. It is up, I'd like to clarify that it is up to the building administration and the advisors of student government to determine whether or not a student is fit for student government and whether they'd be a good fit to lead the school. In order to run for a board position or to be on student government, you do have to be in good standing with the school. You also do have to write that speech, like I had mentioned earlier. You also have to obtain a signature of endorsement from a grade advisor and a student government advisor.
Okay, so Article 5 discusses our amendment process. And so the first thing that's stated is every 3 years, the student government has the right to amend the Constitution. And so this year was the third year, so we took it upon ourselves to add new amendments to this. And after we met as a board and we discussed the possible change of switching from elections to more of an interview-based policy, and then once we had this, we brought this policy to the executive board as a whole, all the board members, and we conducted a vote in which a majority voted in favor for the amendment. And so as you could see here, these are our statistics of the amount of kids that ran for each position on student government.
Executive board?
This is executive board specifically. So as you could see, for 2018, everybody ran unopposed. There was not one election. No one made a speech. We just got on. There was nothing that we had to do for that.
Yeah, so I just like to clarify that when you see the number one, that means one member ran for the position, meaning they were unopposed.
And then again, with the senior class, we had one competition between only two kids. And I'd also like to point out how going from 2016 to now, we've had a decrease, actually, in the amount of kids that are willing to participate in student government. And so again, for the junior class, you could see the most amount of people that we've had running against each other is three, which is something that the board itself isn't very satisfied with. And the sophomore class, again, you could see three as a max. There's still two kids that are running completely unopposed. And freshman class as well. There's a couple running against each other and then unopposed again.
So just to clarify, as you start to get younger with the classes, like freshman and sophomore, you start to see more of an interest. Because freshman year, they're still kind of trying to get their feet on the ground. They're not really sure what's going on with high school. And then sophomore year, they feel as if they missed out on something, so they do join in. That's why the numbers are a little higher. And when higher, I mean three people running in a class of almost 400 students. So it's not actually much higher.
And also, I'd just like to point out, as it may seem like we're kind of going for an untraditional way
of electing our officials. As you could see now, the model that we're currently using doesn't model our U.S. government as a whole. About half of all the students on student government aren't running any type of election. They don't need any qualifications other than setting up junior prom. So what we're trying to do, we're just trying to get our best elective officials to really make changes for our school. We're not trying to disrespect any type of constitution or anything like that.
Okay. So the problem. The main problem that we've come across is that throughout the last few years and years prior, we've had a large lack of interest in student government. We've constantly been talking about ways about how we can increase the interest in student government. And one of the things, while we were all talking, we threw out there, we said, wait, what if we did an interview process? And all of us said, wait, that's actually kind of a good idea. And then we talked more about it, and we realized that this is going to choose the most qualified students. These are going to choose students who are clearly interested in student government and not just doing it to put something on their college resume because they know, wow, maybe this is more serious instead of me putting a few jokes in an essay and reading it in front of my whole class for them to laugh and then elect me. So this was all for the purpose of getting more interest in student government. This is the main reason of why we changed it or are attempting to change it to an interview process. The second problem that we've been having is that many students feel that it's a popularity contest. When you sit there in an auditorium with 400 of your fellow students and your best friend is up there and you're sitting next to your five other friends, you're going to tell them, of course, let's vote for my best friend. So it doesn't matter if my best friend is qualified or not. That's my best friend, so I'm going to vote for them. So what makes them more qualified than the person who was already on student government for two prior years? The third problem that we were having is that students feel that they can't really stand up in front of 400 people and voice their opinion. For a president and for a vice president, that's something that is necessary when you're representing your grade, but for someone like a treasurer, there's no need for you to have to stand in front of your grade and talk about what's going on. That's something that the president or the vice president can handle. And then lastly, something that we came across was some students could possibly fail to fulfill their obligation, and they do not meet the expectations that they should be meeting while they're on student government. Many people just say, well, why don't you just impeach the student? When we impeach a student, that means that the grade board is now down one person. So now all of us, with our 18 other things going on, need to pick up for the student that is no longer there. So with an interview process, we would be eliminating that, because hopefully we would be able to necessarily weed out the kids who we feel wouldn't be fit for the position.
I'd also like to add that if we look back at the statistics, the most popular position to run oftentimes is for president, and oftentimes the president is equally qualified. All these candidates are equally qualified to fulfill that position. It's just about who gets elected or not, which is also very fair. However, these people who lose the election are often lost to student government, who otherwise would have made a strong addition to the team that is student government.
I would also just like to add an address on the last bullet. Our attendance records this year have been way down compared to previous years. It's very rare, actually, for us to have a full meeting where everybody is there. To be completely honest, I don't think that we've had one meeting this year with 100% attendance. And I believe a big part of that is because these kids really aren't that qualified. They're seeing that they could run for a position with no opposition. They're seeing no one's gonna do anything. They're not taking it seriously. And it makes it harder for, you know, us or just kids in general that really care about student government, that want to better the school, when you don't have 100%, you know, effort working on that. You need your full team.
I just wanted to go off what Emily said previous about impeachment. So what happens in impeachment in student government is that we're losing a position, like Emily said. And basically what our solution is trying to do with interviews is to increase how serious people are about the process. So instead of creating or instead of having the problem happen and having to stop it, we'd rather stop the problem first and then potentially have a full board instead of taking people off of board.
You skipped one. Go back. No? Okay. So our attempt at a resolution.
So throughout student government, I can speak to it because I'm the PR secretary. This year, I have made flyers. I have put in for announcements. I've put in for emails. We've put things all over social media. And I email and text all of the grade board representatives that are PR secretaries, and they put in their grade groups what they want their grade to see. So we send out flyers, interest meeting, here, join student government. We're doing this. We're doing that. It's a lack of student interest. We have a lack of student interest in a lot of different aspects of our school. So that's, again, what we're trying to reach out for. We're trying to get students to become more interested in student government, and we're trying to get the most qualified students to join. This year, we did mention it before, we had a student government vote based on the interview process that we were going to do, and the interview process won. That's why we continued to go with the interview process. So just, again, to clarify, our proposal was never intended to offend anyone or our country's democratic election process. That was never our thought at any point in this entire process. Our thought from the beginning and still now is that we want to better our school, we want to make our school a better place, and we want to make sure that out of those 400 kids in your grade, you're going to get the five most passionate kids who want to be there, who want to work, and who want to better the school. So
you
that's... It's okay.
It should also be noted that we followed our student constitution for student government to a T. We followed all the parameters necessary, and we did not break from that constitution at all. So all the processes that we followed were correct according to the constitution.
As a result of the unprecedented response from the community, we want to do a few things to try and resolve this. First, we want to speak with the student body directly. Up until this point, we have not received this sort of negative feedback about one of our changes. And although we do encourage and appreciate this concern from the community, we were surprised to hear that most of the outrage was coming from the parents and not the students. Since changes in student government primarily affect the students, we will be holding a forum during school for students to come to us and voice their opinions and their concerns in hopes to settle this discussion. To reach the students, we will be creating an electronic survey for students to fill out, answer questions, and provide us with any and all input and suggestions about what has been done and what should be done going forward. This electronic survey would be similar to the one used for the testing policy last year. Many of you may recall that was successfully implemented across the school, and we had some good results and some good feedback from a majority of the student body rather than just the parents. Lastly, there may be some confusion about the plan for choosing student government representatives this year. And according to our constitution, our current constitution, any changes made to the constitution would be implemented the following year. So for this year, going into next, the 2019-2020 student government representatives, they will be creating a speech that will be videotaped and then presented to the student body for the students to vote on. And there will be another information session to clear up this information with students who plan to run for student government next year, this year, going into next.
So our goal and our motive as a whole, we really wanted to increase participation and make sure that we're doing what the Constitution, just prefacing it, we're saying how we want to make sure that there's increased participation and that we're representing the students. And we feel that with the most qualified individuals on board, students will in turn get more representation. We're so adamant on this interview process because we really see positive changes and we really think that this can work. And we want to take a step back, and we are willing to compromise because we really do have the students' best interests at heart. Some of our compromises will include, we want to be able to amend the Constitution so that instead of every 3 years, there can be an amendment in place every year. So this allows for a quicker change if a student feels like something should be amended within the Constitution. In addition, we want to make additional amendment that states that any future amendment to the Constitution is going to need to be passed by a school vote. So this way we have student participation, they can understand what's going on. We're also interested in opening up a meeting a month to the student body. We do have two formal meetings with the whole student government every month, so we would like to allow one of those to be open to the entire student body. And finally, we're going to set a date in the near future for students to come and talk to us about our concerns, because we really do want to hear from the students, and we want to make sure that we're representing their interests. And if nothing good comes out of it, one really positive thing is that this really was a teachable moment for a lot of students. We taught them that, you know, with the Constitution, there's a framework and there's a foundation, but you can rework it if you think that something isn't right, and you can work and change that. So, and we informed students. Most students didn't even know we had a Constitution, and now they're aware of that. So we are willing to take a step back. None of these compromises are set in stone, because we really want our decisions to reflect the students' best interests and what they feel. So we are definitely willing to work and compromise and make a really great solution for all.
So to wrap up our presentation, I'd like to touch on a few important points. First, our recent changes to the Constitution. We only had positive intentions for our school community, and we're only meant to better the work being done in student government. Second, we believe that the election process does not reflect the U.S. democratic system as well as it could be, considering the fact that many of the positions are being unopposed. And lastly, all the changes that were made, including the interview process, were strictly the ideas of students in student government. We believe there's a major misconception in who is in charge of these changes, and it is the student representatives in student government. I would like to quickly testify to the support and guidance that our advisor, Mr. Miller, has given us. Throughout the 4 years on student government, he has helped to guide us and help us become leaders in our school. We were able to speak and pursue our own ideas, and I'm not just referring to the constitutional amendment process, but also in other activities that we do, such as Greek Olympics, homecoming, and more. Although Mr. Miller isn't my guidance counselor, I'd like to say that he's been there to support me and everyone else on student government and all of his students at any time of the day, at any moment. So thank you to Mr. Miller. I think this last point is especially important, considering the fact that there's a lot of misconstrued statements going around about who started this. And I want to say that it is the student government and the students on student government. Student government is run on the ideas of students, as primarily the student representatives. And lastly, we'd like to thank Mr. Murray and Mr. Miller for their help in this process throughout the whole school year, as well as the Board of Education for having us and letting us speak and clearing up any misconceptions about our intentions. Lastly, we'd also like to thank those who properly reached out to administration about their concerns. This allowed us to become aware of the problem in the most appropriate way and speak with you here tonight. We also hope in the future that students feel comfortable coming to us with their concerns. Thank you.
I'd also like to add that these proposed changes do expand and reflect the values of democracy that we do hold in our student government, and that should be noted, because I know that it is important as a student government to be democratic, and these changes not only reflect the student body, but also serve to protect them and protect their rights and expand those rights.
And we also want to thank you for giving us the time to go over our proposals and what we wanted to change. We really appreciate it, and we thank you for listening.
We want to thank you for coming this evening. You are each very, very articulate. You stated your positions. You stated how it started and where you landed up to compromise and everything else. There are some questions from board members. Anybody? Seth? No? Lauren?
I got to thank you all, and I thank you for being very direct and forward. I'm going to just ask a couple of procedural questions. So one of the things is you said you're following your Constitution, and one of the things I had read in your Constitution about your voting, it was supposed to be the entire student government. How many student representatives are there in entirety?
Do you mean on the whole board?
Yeah, according to your Constitution, I think it was...
including freshmen, sophomores, juniors, seniors.
Yeah.
That's 20, and then 6 plus the executive board.
Okay, and how many people actually voted on the amendment?
I don't have the exact numbers.
It was out of 15. The senior board was not involved in the voting process.
Was there a conscious decision on this, or is there a reason? Because you had mentioned that you followed your Constitution, so that's all I'm asking.
Well, the senior board wouldn't be affected by these changes, so I think it's important to note that they weren't present in voting.
But that's not. I'm just saying your constitution doesn't say that. It just says that the entire student government is supposed to be voting. I just wanted to point.
It wasn't intentional that the.
I'm just trying
to clear up your question about how our voting process went.
Yeah.
So we sent out. It was during one of our regular meetings that we had this anonymous vote, and it was very aware that we were taking this vote at that time, and whoever showed up at the meeting had the power.
Okay. I'm just curious also, is Mr. Miller the only advisor in student government, or are there other advisors?
There are grade advisors that go along with each grade. So the freshmen have an advisor, so do the sophomore, juniors, and then the senior class, and then we have Miller. So there's at least, I would say 7, maybe 8 student government advisors in total, but Mr. Miller runs executive board.
Okay, but the Constitution is for the student government?
Yes.
Okay. The question is, I'm just curious, there are other advisors in the process.
Yes.
Your point is absolutely correct, but I guess it also reflects our attendance that we were talking about before, because there were numerous blasts that were put out saying, you know, this will be the meeting when we're voting, and none of the seniors did come for that meeting.
And
you're a senior?
No, I'm an executive board. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yes. So executive board is juniors and rising seniors. You're saying the senior class government did not vote on this.
That is correct.
And that was intentional, or was that unintentional?
That was unintentional.
Just to clarify, since I'm the PR secretary, I did send out multiple text messages through Remind stating that we are voting and it is a mandatory meeting, and it was the student's choice not to show up if they did not show up. I said it was mandatory. I said that they must be there because we're in a voting procedure. And the students who showed up, thankfully, and the students that didn't, did not.
It definitely does represent the low interest in student government, the fact that the whole student government was not present in voting.
I do thank you for taking a step back and reflecting and making some of these changes. The only other question is, I'm concerned, is that there's no ninth grade, as Ginger pointed out in the beginning, and I know you made a mention to why, but it's still because it affects the ninth graders too.
We realize that, but as a representative on student government, especially how they've had the year to grow and become comfortable, it was their responsibility to step up, just like everyone else on this board stepped up to be here and planned to be here tonight.
They were invited to attend the meeting as well as all the sessions.
I'm confused.
About what?
When the meetings are that this freshman wouldn't be here, because I see a couple freshmen in the audience already.
So we had multiple meetings with Mr. Murray prior to this Board of Ed meeting, and I stated in those meetings, in those Remind text messages that I sent out, anybody is welcome to come to the meeting, anybody is welcome to come to the Board of Ed meeting. We will be talking on this times, we will be discussing on this times. We've probably met 4 or 5 times, and I sent Remind texts out for the first 2 or 3 times, and not one freshman showed up. So.
But they had to come to that meeting?
It's not mandatory. I'm not going to force them
to come speak to us tonight. They had to be at...
We gave everyone
an option.
I
think they're going to... I appreciate them being here because I think they're going to speak to what they felt with the changes, so it would be really nice to hear from them too. But there are freshmen in the audience.
Yeah, they're going to get up.
Well, do they have to wait for public participation, or can they be invited now?
No, I'll handle it.
Okay.
Debbie?
Thank you. I'm sorry. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I want to first say that I really appreciate your slide. We'll try a different approach. And I like all of your ideas on the different approach. A couple of questions that I have. One is, why do you feel as a body that participation will be increased by not having a vote of the student body?
So
the
main concern that we were trying to address was the stage fright that many students have addressing an entire grade of 300 to 400 students. And I'm the vice president of the junior class. Never, besides that speech, have I addressed a crowd that large. Even in, you know, the biggest of crowds, it's 10 people, 15 people max. So we felt that decreasing that to an interview process that does include some members of the student body would be a much better representation of the duties that a representative would have to fulfill during their year as a member of the student government.
And I also want to speak to that because I think sometimes the speeches in front of the whole grade, especially when you're running for class board or executive board, which is in front of the whole school, I think they deter some students from running. So, for example, I love public speaking. I think it's really important asset and skill in anything that you do in life. And, you know, I've taken public speaking classes. But there's something about speaking in front of my class just for that one speech that really makes me really upset, and I wouldn't want to do that because I know that it's viewed as a joke and kids really just circle who they're friends with. So, you know, I haven't been able to make the speech because I have been unopposed, but I absolutely love student government, and I'm so thankful that I was able to be unopposed because I don't think I would have run if I had to compete against someone else. And, you know, I love being able to work closely with Mr. Murray and Mr. Miller and just being able to share ideas with my board, and just it's a really, really great club that I think so many students should be involved in. And I don't want kids like me who are really afraid to just make that one speech, I don't want them to be deterred from running. And I think that's a big part of it as well.
Well, a positive thing is we're going to have public speaking as a requirement, so everybody will have that opportunity.
Something else? Something else I just wanted to add was, too, if you run for a position, for instance, many students would like to be the president of their class because that's the top position. So let's say you have, for instance, in my grade, I had 3 students who were interested in the presidency position. If you lose that job, you cannot run for any other job. So it's very unfair that you may have an unopposed vice president who's not qualified and then have 3 kids who ran for president and then the other 2 have nothing. But now in the interview process, you would select your top 5 choices and then it would be taking, like, okay, this student will be the president. Like, they would pick, the committee would select the 5 best students as opposed to just running for that position, losing, and then, bummer, you have nothing in government for the whole year. So that was another major thing on top of the being shot in front of a large group of people, too.
Just a point of clarification. It is 3, your top 3 choices, not top 5.
I'm sorry, top 3.
And I think it is imperative to highlight what Eden just told us. We see how articulate and how eloquent she was able to speak and how she has created such an impact on our student government. However, we would have lost Eden if it were not for the lack of interest in student government and how she ran unopposed. But what if she didn't run unopposed and there was another person there? We would not have had her on student government. This is why interviews are so important. Because we now do have Ed in here, and she's making such an impact. And she would have been lost if we didn't have this process.
Okay, then I just have one other question.
We love her.
We love her, too. She's our representative, and she does speak very well. I forget which one of you, when you spoke, said something about the input from the student body. You did. Okay. So can I ask you, did you receive input? And I think we were all under the impression that there was a petition that had been circulated. Did you get and discuss that petition, the contents of the petition?
So let me just chime in on this one because we handled this more so as an executive board rather than individual grade boards. So the executive board had a meeting with Mr. Murray, Mr. Miller, and the freshman board, and then the executive board. We addressed the petition, so there were a few problems within the petition. Although we truthfully appreciated it in a sense that students were speaking out and speaking up for their grade, because we appreciate that. We want you to speak what you feel. We want you to tell people what you feel. We're not trying to, in a sense, shut you up.
It's government.
Of course, it's government. We want you to tell other people how you feel. So one of the problems that we had with the petition was that a lot of the information that was on the petition was actually incorrect. So that was the first issue that we had with the petition. I don't have it in front of my face. Do you have it?
No, I asked for it, but it wasn't given to me.
So if I was looking at it, I would be able to point out to you the incorrect information that was given. The second issue that we had is there's 5 students on a freshman grade board, and 2 of the students were actually not informed by the rest of their grade about the petition. So 3 students wrote the petition up, and they did not inform the other 2. So when that petition was getting passed around,
or any advisor whatsoever,
when that petition started to get passed around, people were going to the other students in student government that had no idea about it and said, "What's up with the petition?" And they could not speak to it because they had never seen it before and did not agree with the information in it. The third problem that we had was when we took the original vote, we did 3 votes on the interview process. When we took the original vote, we stated very clearly in all of those meetings, we are here for you. We want to talk to you. If you guys have any concerns or problems that you feel you do not want to raise in front of the rest of student government, we wait there, every student government, after for at least 10 to 15 minutes, and we talk ourselves. Your advisor is there for a reason. It wasn't brought to the advisor. It wasn't brought to us. It wasn't brought to Mr. Miller. So we were under the impression that everything was doing well with the interview process. And then I received a text message that a petition was going around, and I'm on executive board, and I couldn't even speak to it.
And also on the standpoint of the other grade boards, it was very difficult for us. And just the students that made the petition, their intentions were obviously in the right place. They just kind of went about it a little roguely, because the students on other grade boards, we'd have students coming up to me saying, you know, you're taking away our rights, this and that. I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, there's this petition going around, you guys are all corrupt and stuff. I'm like, but we had no notification of a petition to get in front of or even address. Like, we didn't even at that time get the chance to first even propose the changes in a constructive manner to the rest of the students. So to have kids without knowing anything about it yet already being opposed to it was very difficult on our end to then, like, try to say, well, this was our intentions if we would have had the chance to have told you first. Like, it kind of beat us to it.
I see.
And just getting back to, and was there any other input from the student body other than this petition?
So I was actually presented with a petition myself. I guess they didn't realize that I was a member of student government. And it was during my lunch period, so I was sitting with my friends. And I'd like to add, I was presented with a petition, and I applaud the fact that they were trying to represent their student body and fight for their values. But unfortunately, the way it was presented to me, I can only assume that it would be the same to the other people that it was presented to. It seemed to have an implicit bias when presented against this change, and it didn't really paint a full picture of the whole process of the amendment that we would like to make. But just to speak to your question, like you said, the members of my table that I was sitting with, they basically heard that, oh, taking away their free speech. So automatically it was, yeah, I'll sign the petition. The petition was not read by any of these students. It was just the fact, oh, they're taking away our free speech. Let me sign against it.
To put it simply, there's usually a proper procedure if you are going to make a petition like this, and that procedure wasn't followed when they did create this.
And then I just want to touch on your first question, if there's any other student involvement aside from the petition and passing the amendments. In our constitution that we've been following for the past year, all that's needed is a majority vote. And that's why in our presentation, a possible compromise would be to have the school vote on future amendments. So we think that would be a beneficial change.
Very good. Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't really have any question. I just want to make a comment, and that is I wanted to commend all of you for the maturity by which you came here to address this issue. Obviously, these moments have teachable moments, not just for you, but I think for the whole community. I'm very happy. I'm going to echo what Debbie said. I'm very happy to see that we're trying a different approach. The fact that you acknowledge the response that's out there and want to, you know, have a way of looking forward to better include those other voices and opinions and have that discussion, I think that's commendable. I'm happy to hear that you've reflected on it and that there's at least an opportunity to revisit it if need be. If there is a positive outcome, I think it's that people are now talking about student government.
Exactly.
Right? So there may be a greater interest. There may be a greater interest among the student body to get more involved in it, which may go into your discussions and have some impact. So, you know, look, it's not easy to come to a board meeting and present, and this is a forum that can be intimidating. And so I commend you all and look forward to hearing how you're trying a different approach works as well. So
thank you.
Thank you very much for coming and clarifying how this change came about. Was there at any time a discussion about, once the petition started circulating and you were concerned about the information they contained, had you guys discussed among yourselves that maybe it was time to sort of let the student body know what you came and let us know today? And also, how were you planning to let the students know about the change after it was voted on?
So after we learned about the petition, we scheduled a meeting that included the freshman board who created the petition, as well as the executive board, their advisor, our advisor, and Mr. Murray. There we discussed that we recognize that this is a learning process, and you know it's their first year on student government, so we just wanted them to understand that that wasn't the correct way to go about it. So then our next step after that was communication. So basically communicating across the boards about what our thoughts are, and then communicating to the student body that what was listed in the petition or what was said wasn't representative of our intentions or what we were doing, since the bias was clearly there. So that was our motives going forward after that meeting.
And as well as that, if you'd look at the amendment process, the very last blue sentence says the Constitution must be made available to the student body for 10 days before going into effect. So within those 10 days, that was open to the student body for them to come back to us and voice any opinions that they had for it.
Additionally, what we did was, as Emily, blasted information about interest meetings and student government, part of the posts and the flyers that went up all around say, in big blue letters, out with elections and in with interviews. And what we did was we also explained thoroughly the new interview process in these interest meetings to the few students that did show up with interest. And it's not that we didn't bring attention about this change to the students. It's that it sort of brushed right over them as they continued on with their daily lives. And we understand that it's AP week, people are studying and whatnot, and it's very busy that leading up to these last few days. But we did try, as much as we could to present the new changes to the student body.
On another hand, we just want to emphasize that as a board, we're very appreciative of what the freshman class did and, bringing it to our attention that there was a bit of a disconnect between the students and the executive board and the government, and we understand that. So we do appreciate members of the student body who address those concerns. This is really, like Alexa said, it's a learning process for us. We're really trying our best because we just want to make sure we have everybody's interests their best interests at heart. So we do appreciate that, and we thank them for bringing it to our attention, because obviously when you are the one making it, it looks, perfect in your eyes. So we do thank them, and, anybody from the freshman class or from the student body that, wasn't so happy with it, we thank you for being here too and sharing your concerns. We really appreciate it.
This is a question not for the student government. This is a question, can I ask a question of Mr. Miller and Mr. Murray? So I'm just curious, when the students came to you both, Mr. Miller, I don't know if you can answer this or Mr. Murray, because we don't have the freshman advisor here. Two things. It's a two-part question. I'm taking lessons from Seth. When this came about, the petition, and it was brought to the attention of both the administration and the advisors, were there a counseling with the advisors with ninth grade? I heard what the student government said, but was there an adult conversation with the student government? And then my second part is, when the student government, the executive board, did come up with their ideas and suggestions, did we talk about consequences, intentional or unintentional?
Good questions. When I got involved in it, when I was brought to my attention that a petition went out, I reached out to the students and to the advisors to see if they knew what was going on. And as was addressed, they weren't aware of the petition as well. I spoke with the students by bringing them together in a meeting where Mr. Miller was present, as well as the advisor for the freshman class. And I met with, of course, the officers on both ends. We had a really very productive meeting, I believe, because commend the freshman class for their initiative and how they went about it. We also talked frankly at that meeting. It was an opportunity for me to share with the student government my great concern with their interest in going in this direction, because it was one of the things that I was most proud of when I first came to Plainview Bethpage, was the way we did our election process for class offices as well as student government. Back in the day, we actually used to bring in the voting machines, if you recall correctly, and students were actually came down in social studies classes and had that opportunity to vote and feel it, you know, as they hit the machine and that made that sound, and it had impact. So we did talk about that, and moving away from that, I expressed my concern that, you know, this was an opportunity for students to be able to express their voice. And sometimes you get people in office that you're happy with, and then sometimes that you don't, you know, and I didn't expand on that. but so anyway, so that was our opportunity for us to be able to address that. If you have anything you wanted to add?
Consequences about, you know, what would happen possibly if this became more of an appointed as opposed to elected?
Well, at that point in time, they had already, I'm trying to get my time frame back. At that point in time, they didn't actually have a vote where it was done by anonymous ballot. They did it by a show of hands. So I, you know, explained to them, you know, as I went through it, that, you know, the minutes should be reflecting their results of their vote. And that it should be done by anonymous ballot because sometimes students may not be comfortable to raise their hand one way or another. So I suggested that they go back to their student government, talk more about the process and what they were interested in doing, and be open-minded and hear all different sides. And if then they still felt, bless you, that they wanted to go ahead and vote, then to do so. And that's what happened.
And because I'm also, the consequence of maybe not being an elected body but an appointed might not be the same weight with each. So that I'm just making sure that they are aware of consequences and unintentional consequences of changing the type of government or club.
No, I can't say at that point in time that we discussed whether or not, if you're referring to it being an actual government, so to speak,
yes,
versus a
like
club.
Like a represent, right.
At that first meeting, no, we did
have
not.
Has that been done?
Yes, we've had discussions of that even up until today.
Okay.
We discussed that.
Okay. Thank you.
I don't really have any questions, but I would like to echo what Seth has said. Every one of you is absolutely commended for having the nerve to come up, be public speakers. Each one of you is speaking articulately and eloquently, which makes me very, very proud to say that you are ours. And whatever comes of this, I just want you to know that I think you're all terrific just because you did present and you presented well. Thank you.
And I know, just to go along with your question, I know it was directed towards Mr. Miller and Mr. Murray, that although I was not a part of the meeting with the executive board because I'm not on the executive board, I know in the follow-up meetings we did discuss the consequences of this new implemented procedure with the interviews. And if we really think about it, if we kept it the same way with the the elections like we had done in the past, there's always going to be unintended consequences, just like we saw with how you guys reacted to our current government that is in power in the United States. But I think as a student government ourselves, we kind of weighed these consequences and found that the amendments that we would like to make would ultimately better the student body as a whole, and that these consequences were weighted and justified in our decision.
Yep. And to add to that, too, our purpose in presenting this wasn't just to say, like, our way is the best, no other way is good. The freshmen that made their petition did have really, really good points, and so did other students. We just saw there is a problem. The current way isn't working, so why not try something new and just see how it goes, which is why another big thing was to make the amendment once a year, because then maybe 1 year it doesn't work, and then we just go right back. So just to really try to weigh it out. We're not saying this is the best way. Just try to fix the problem.
Yeah, so just backpedaling on the consequences, although it wasn't discussed formally in one of our meetings, definitely like when we're just talking as friends, we're like, well, what if this doesn't get passed? So then what? Because it isn't as representative because there's no voting. You're not selecting who's going to be in office. So that's where we came up with the ideas of like the compromises, because if you aren't really voting for your, as you saw in the numbers on the board, if you're not really voting for them, then all of us up here on executive board, like as much as we love being on student government, are we really that representative? Because we weren't voted on. So by opening up our meetings once a month to students by possibly amending the Constitution to have a student vote for future amendments and all those the compromises listed. We feel that that will further make up for the lack of representation.
I want to commend everybody for coming this evening, but I just have a few comments. First, I think you have to have a real process, and you have to follow that process. You have to be able to let the student body know, as a result of this action, this is the consequence of it. Because as you're talking to me, the right to vote is a responsibility. It's a responsibility of every single student in that building. And that's what we have to teach children, not to delegate their rights to somebody else. Because we're seeing that happening in government now. And life is just this big civic lesson all along. And I understand with the constitutional change, if you make it every year, so if it doesn't work 1 year. But I want you to think really, really hard about how people fought their entire lives for that right to vote. And in how many countries people don't have that right and what they have given up. And I applaud that you are trying to think outside the box. If anything, you've piqued an interest in student government. That you have to say, because you're the talk of the town, wherever you go.
It's free marketing. We got free marketing.
But I just, and I agree with you, with the seniors who are leaving, that this was not their decision. This is a decision of the next student body that's coming in. Because how many of us see that as a government changes, laws are passed that last week or 2 weeks of which people can't even get themselves out of. They don't know what's happening. So I think that I applaud you for doing that. But I really want you to think about that right to vote. And when you ask somebody to give it up, or for somebody who's too lazy and said, oh, I'm going to let you vote, and I'm going to let you do it. What if that's not the right person? What if the people you have coming up maybe wouldn't be the choice of that government? And the fact that in your amendment that you're going to allow it if it doesn't work for 1 year to see what happens, I think that you're on the right road to it. When you said you heard more from the parents, that's because we are generations of voters. We know the importance of a vote. And so that when I started reading comments and everything else, it was that people were afraid their kids were not getting the right to voice their opinion. Sometimes voting, people are lazy and they just don't care. But as a result, you see that there's going to be maybe a change, maybe not, however you guys come to a solution. But I beg you, please have a process and you follow that process through. You let everybody know what's happening, and you encourage people to become a part of it. You have done such phenomenal things over all the past years, and we don't want to lose that. We want to see you grow. I find it disappointing to see that kids aren't running for student government. At one time, that was where everybody wanted to be. Those are your class leaders. Those are the kids who are going to represent me at a meeting, to be able to talk through certain things. And we have to do something to breathe life back into it. But I just want to applaud you all for coming this evening. I think it took a lot of confidence and a surety in what you were doing. And we would like to hear from ninth grade class president after this. And it's no one grade against another grade. What it is that people see things differently. And we want to thank you again for coming this evening. Thanks. And good luck on your AP exams tomorrow.
Thank you.
Good evening, Dr. Lewis and members of the board. My name is Ava Amore, JFK High School's freshman class president. I came here tonight to speak a little about the new student government constitution and the petition I wrote in an effort to make the student body aware of changes made to it. First, let me say that I have been actively involved in the student government since I was at Matlin, and being a part of it has greatly enriched my school experience. Part of that experience has always been partaking in an election process. The process is not something that I or anyone I know has ever taken lightly because it is a big commitment. It involves meeting with faculty about the rules and expectations for running and being a part of student government, brainstorming goals that you'd like to achieve if you're elected, coming up with clever campaign slogans and posters to get attention, speaking with your fellow classmates about their concerns, delivering a speech to your entire grade, and finally, Election Day. It is an exciting and fun time, unlike any other during the school year. It is one of the only times that the entire school is engaged and involved in something together. It's a wonderful thing to be a part of. During the 1.5 student government meetings where we discussed the new constitution ideas, a lot of the talk focused on how getting rid of an election by the student body would help eliminate the popularity vote. The belief being that students who deserve to be a part of the government but who are intimidated by the process and assume they cannot win would be given a better chance. This bothered me from day one because it gives the impression that students who have been elected were only elected because they are popular, not because they worked on hard on their campaigns and made an impression on the voting students. In my opinion, it also sends a message that high school students are incapable of making informed decisions. We are always told how important it is for students to speak up, have a voice, and get involved. How is taking away our right to vote for the class representatives of our choice encouraging that? Especially when high schoolers are the closest to the actual voting age. I can tell you in the years I've been involved in student government, I have never heard a speech or seen a campaign that was a joke. I've never seen anyone elected who didn't deserve to be. Perhaps there were incidents before my time, but there have always been rules in place that should be enforced if a member of student government is not fulfilling their duties. Our roles as members of the student government are first and foremost to represent the student body. This is why I made that petition, because I knew there were students who were not happy about their right to vote being taken away, and I wanted their voices to be heard. I believed and still believe that this new constitution is a huge mistake. I felt a sense of urgency to get the word out, and in the short time my friends and I had in between classes, that petition was able to gather over 200 signatures. I did not write that petition to make trouble or to make the student government look bad, as I was told. I was doing the job I was elected to do, which was to be a voice for the students and to prove there were opinions outside of the boardroom that were more important than just ours. That is it. That is all. Thank you for your time.
Ava, it's not a question.
Yes.
I am very impressed with you.
Thank you.
Thank you for doing this and standing up and to talking about it. So, and I just, the other comment is I really hope that there will be amends, and this is not, as Ginger said earlier, this is not about grade against grade, student against student. I really do hope that a bridge can be mended and that communication will be that mend. So, but thank you for coming up and
helping.
Thank you very much. And I know I've heard you speak before, and I think it's important that we all listen together because this is what it's all about. It's about a student body. It's not about this body. It's about the students in the high school and getting you on the same page and working together to come to something that maybe will really get the kids involved. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I just wanted to add that, as talked about with the executive board, the reason why the freshman board wasn't present was at the meetings that this was discussed, was because a majority of the freshman board is not in favor of interviews and the interview process, so that's why we were not up here with the rest of the exec board.
Okay, thank you.
It was not 1.5 meetings, just to state. We stated before it was 3 meetings. We spoke about this for 3 full 41-minute periods straight. I was there. All of the executive board was there. That's just to clarify that point, that we wanted every single student on student government to know what our plan was. We had a lot of kids in the beginning. They said, I'm not really sure how I feel about this. We talked about it. We had discussions. We had different ideas thrown into the mix. And everybody came to a point where they majority vote agreed. And we went back and voted on 3 different occasions. So we had 3 different meetings, not 1.5 meetings.
To add on to that, according to the minutes taken by a member of my board, it was shown that it was 1 full meeting and a half of a meeting where the ideas were discussed. And a hand raise was taken place on agreement with some of the ideas that were going to be put into the Constitution.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Thank you. Our high school rep.
Yay!
Now you can all see her at work. You can't leave till she's through.
Okay, we'll take a break from
that right now. I don't have anything about the interview process in here, but we're in the midst of AP week right now, which is a stressful time for students, but it's really been going smoothly so far. This is our second week now. So all the planning that the junior class has done is finally going to be able to be showcased this weekend because their junior gala is on Saturday at 7 p.m. And the sophomore class, they just held a really great event, the first one that they've ever had. It was a sophomore field day. Unfortunately, it was raining, but they did take it to the gym. And sophomores that I spoke to had a really great time. I believe there was food, there were competitions, games. It was a really great event. So I applaud the sophomore class for doing that. And the spring a cappella concert, that's going to be this Friday, where you can see our eight amazing a cappella groups perform. And we have two shows, one at 6:30 and one at 8:30. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a nice night.
Is our middle school rep here?
Hi, I'm Cooper Kirscher representing the middle schools. Good evening.
Good evening.
Spring is off to a great start for the middle schools. The eighth graders from Matlin returned from their exciting and successful overnight trip to Boston. The students came back with the wonderful stories of time spent with their peers and teachers. They ate lunch at Quincy Market, walked the Freedom Trail, danced the night away at the Glow Party, toured Harvard and MIT, and walked around Harvard Square, all in 36 hours. POB will be going this week on the Boston trip.
In the rain.
In the rain.
The eighth grade students also had an opportunity to join together for High School 101, a program that helps prepare them for the transition to high school. Seventh grade students at Matlin organized a dignity drive to benefit the JCC food pantry. Family and consumer science students will bring the toiletries as well as gift boxes for homebound seniors to the JCC at the end of the month. The students will see firsthand how their hard efforts help the community. Matlin Student Council and Service Club had an amazing experience bringing the food that the school collected to the JCC food pantry. The club members were able to weigh over 120 pounds of food and stock the pantry to see firsthand how their hard efforts helped the community. Matlin Student Council is very busy gearing up for our annual Carnival for a Cure to benefit Relay for Life. Students, faculty, and parents all work together for this huge event. The carnival will be held on May 31st from 3:30 to 5. The Matlin Drama Cadets performed The Little Mermaid under Mr. Tom Bonica's direction. This was Mr. Bonica's 25th show at Matlin, and as usual, it was a great success. Two nights were sold out. Our spring music concert, 7th grade trip to the aquarium, 6th grade trip to medieval times, and 5th grade trip to the Bronx Zoo are all still to come this year. This is a great way to take us into the end of the year. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Are there any board announcements? Debbie?
I want to piggyback on what Cooper just spoke about, The Little Mermaid. Many of us had the opportunity this past weekend to attend its performance, and it was an amazing, amazing production, particularly for a middle school. So many talented students. I want to congratulate Mr. Bonica for this amazing production, which, as Cooper said, was his 25th production. I want to congratulate all the students, both on the stage and behind the scenes, all of the adults who contribute in so many ways to the success of the show. And as an aside, I brought my 4-year-old granddaughter, and she was able to sit for 3 hours mesmerized. She didn't get up other than to get some candy during intermission. And she all weekend, she couldn't stop talking about the show, and she told us yesterday that when she goes to that school, she wants to be Ariel. So great, great performance.
Any other comments? Jody?
I just want to piggyback on what Eden said about the a cappella night. If we have elementary and middle school parents in the audience, I want to encourage you to please bring your students to the high school events. I bring my daughter and her friends to everything. I bring them to the talent show. I bring them to a cappella night. And I think it has encouraged some of these kids to stay in chorus, to stay in band when they consider dropping out, because they can see if they stick with it, what they're going to sound like in a few years. I would love to see more parents of younger children bring their kids to the middle school and the high school events, because they can really see the benefits of sticking with that instrument or staying in chorus, even though it means getting up for zero period and you want to sleep for another 25 minutes. So that was just something that I wanted to say. I think it really sort of lends to keeping these kids in the music program and keeping them excited about, you know, their chorus and their band lessons. Thanks.
Anyone else? I just wanted to, I was reading the Miami Herald over the weekend, and there was an article in it that since Parkland, 1,200 children in this country have died by being shot. And I think so much of our time is focused on all these other headlines. We're losing what it's all about. Innocent children every day going to school, going to a concert, going to pray, to do whatever they want. They're being murdered. And we have to just keep our eye on that, and we have to be very supportive of letting people know how dangerous guns kill. Bottom line, if a gun is in the house, doesn't matter where you put it, how much you take and how many precautions you take and everything else, a gun can kill a child. 1,200 children as of last weekend, and they had a list of every child's name and their age, and it was just heartbreaking. Dr. Lewis, on that happy note.
Happy note, thank you.
My reality check.
I want to also echo the praise of the Little Mermaid and whoever built those sets. And I know it's parents, so I want to say thank you to the parents. The ship, it is amazing, not just with the voices, the acting, the dancing, but the sets are unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. I think it's a pity that they have to strike it at the end of it, because it was outstanding. Of course, POB Middle School is heading out to Boston. Of course, it is bad weather. Matlin gets the good weather no matter when we assign it, but they always come back smiling and having a good time.
14-year-old boys are not putting on that poncho. No.
Right. Oh, he's going now. And at our next meeting on the 20th, we will be upstairs in Matlin, because we have a packed house. It is our academic awards, student awards, and also the musical will be. We have the high school musical will give us a little snippet from that.
Mamma Mia.
I just want to remind everyone, voting locations have changed. You are going to be voting outside in the atrium of Matlin. If you have your zoned for JJP or Old Bethpage, and those could go by your elementary zones. And if you are zoned for Pasadena and Stratford Road, if your house is zoned for those two schools, then you're voting at Jamaica Avenue. It's very important that we do that. The board will be considering a resolution about public speaking. Ms. Bernstein spoke about that for the students who are high school students sitting in the audience, and for the beginning with the eighth grade class, with their rising ninth graders, they will have to take a standalone public speaking course, or have been enrolled in some identified courses that we know lead to public speaking experiences. So the high school annually will identify the courses and experiences. So for example, MetMonk Research, AP Capstone, I'm just naming a few. Those experiences, and if you're the president of a class, I would imagine if you had to do a speech, then that would also qualify. Or a video that you had to create instead of a speech. But there will be experiences that the high school will annually identify. So that could be a changing experience. And so the board will consider that resolution for giving more students an opportunity to speak publicly. The other thing is we are in the consideration for looking at changing our grading structure for beginning with grade 5 and 6. It's not going to be immediately. It will have to be involve parents, and it will involve teachers in grades 5 and 6 for beginning now through sometime next year. But it is, I want to have you understand that a group of us went to see Guskey speak, and he really drove home the idea that our grading system is based on 65% failure. 0 to 65 is failure. And really, the grades, and nobody really wants grades between 65 and 80, because people feel that if you got a 75, even though it's a passing grade, it is, you know, it's not a grade that you strive for. So really, you are basing our 100-point scale is really based on 20 points. So we are looking at that and having conversations, hearing both sides about this before we bring to the board a consideration. But we are talking about the grading system. We will be having, yes, thank you very much, Ms. Bernstein. We generally count our votes at Jamaica Avenue. This year we are counting them here since this is an official voting site. So the public should know that if they want to see the election results, they will occur in this room. We will throw that up on the board. So voting locations have changed, and where we are going to be counting the votes has changed. So it will occur here at 9 p.m. when we close the door. If you're inside, you may stay. And by the way, I invite you to come and see the results. We have five folks running. Five candidates. Thank you. I'm looking at you.
It's a big vocabulary.
I know. It's a big vocabulary. I'm sorry about that. There are five candidates running for three seats on the board. So it will be, and tomorrow night is candidates' night, sponsored by the PTA. That will be at POB Middle School Auditorium, beginning at 7 p.m. And we're selling tickets. Oh, we're not? No popcorn, because we don't eat in the auditorium. It's a brand new auditorium, no popcorn.
For everyone, that's for it. The candidates who are running, as you speak to people, please let them know the voting places have changed. And if you see anybody in the community taking down any of the lawn signs from the candidates, please stop and tell them to stop it. Because people, this is a very high-paid job once you get here. Zero from zero is zero. But you're putting money out, and it's hard-earned money, and to see somebody just destroy signs because they don't like the person, whatever, it's wrong. And this community is above that, so please make sure, keep your eyes open, and hope we'll see everybody tomorrow night. Okay, we have one, it's very short, and then we're going to public participation.
I thought this was the interlude in the meeting everybody was waiting for. Okay, summer construction, very quickly. Yes, that's why everybody's here. Okay, so list of summer construction projects. Many have already begun, the most visible of which is Old Bethpage Elementary School, the two-classroom addition. During the April break, the ground was excavated, and they started pouring the concrete. The concrete forms are already off. We also started boiler replacement at Old Bethpage. The boiler that is going to be replaced. The guts of it were removed. The remainder of the project will happen after students leave the building. There are some more pictures of Old Bethpage. This was towards the middle of last week. We've moved along since then. Judy Jacobs will receive a roof replacement, really a roof recoating. I also included the funding sources in here for your reference. Some interior and exterior masonry. The exterior masonry is really up near the gym. That'll be done in conjunction with the roof replacement. And electrical upgrades funded through the bond. Those are mainly electric hand dryers in restrooms and outlets in certain classrooms. So that's not an electrical overhaul. There are certain things that were specified by the bond committee. Pasadena, roof recoating and boiler replacement. Stratford, more extensive work, ADA accessibility in certain restrooms, and also the construction of a staff toilet on the second floor. Ceiling and lighting replacement, one of our most invasive projects, as we've experienced in previous years at our other schools. So we will, once we know the work plan of the contractor, we will know when the main office will be displaced, because the ceiling right outside the main office is going to be replaced. They probably will remain in the school, but they might have to move to another hallway temporarily. Boiler replacement already started, and that work is actually ongoing. So that boiler replacement will probably finish a little bit earlier than the others. An electrical upgrade similar to other buildings that are getting them hand dryers in certain restrooms and some outlets. Matlin, interior and exterior masonry, and replacement of wheelchair lifts in C House and D House. POB Middle School, classroom renovations, the move of Z space, and also some office renovations to accommodate the enrollment shift that has been discussed at length. POB High School, lots of stuff going on there. Masonry, very large window replacement that will start in August that will most likely take all year. We have that experience at POB Middle School, similar project, not quite the same scope, but still takes a good long time. It'll go through the winter. Interior door replacement and also the new lock systems there as well. Gym curtain installation, that is an old capital fund or transfer to capital appropriation. The folding partition doors, the solid folding partition doors are coming down, and instead curtain separators are going up. You might see them in schools in other school districts, so that's coming to us. Boiler replacement, we're replacing two there. That work is ongoing as we speak. And main office and guidance office carpet replacement, we will temporarily have to move those offices. We're trying to once again figure out the work plan with the interior door project to figure out where that office will be displaced to. Jamaica Avenue, boiler replacement, ongoing. Any questions?
Susan? Rich, you know that presentation you made, I think it was last year, and Sam did an amazing job with the bond projects and what was completed? You know, it used to be out in the
mm-hmm.
hallway?
Yep.
Is there a way to update that?
Sure.
Okay, because it's really great. It's like one page, and it shows everything. If that was
sure, I actually do that. Yes, I can do that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're now going to public participation. District policy number 1510.1 provides that persons wishing to make comments or raise questions shall 1, state their name and address, and 2, indicate on whose behalf they are speaking, if a non-resident. The policy prohibits public discussion on matters relating to staff and students at which their reputation, privacy, or rights to due process or those of others could in some way be violated. As a reminder, an audio recording of this meeting, including public participation, is being made and will be posted on the district's website. All remarks are limited to 3 minutes. The floor is open. Aiden?
Hello. My name is Aiden Davis. I live at 26 Birch Lane, and I'm a ninth grader at JFK. At every opportunity, I have involved myself with student government in order to make positive changes. Most of the time, I did not win a position because I wasn't able to get enough votes. In 5th, 6th, 7th, and 9th grade, I ran for grade president and lost. The only student government position I have ever held was Matlin co-president, which only happened because the race ended in a tie. I was never bitter about losing because I understand the reality of how student government should work. This is why I believe the changes to the student government instituted at the high school are harmful and somewhat dangerous. To quote Franklin Delano Roosevelt, "Let us never forget that government is ourselves and not an alien power above us. The ultimate rulers of our democracy are not a president and government officials, but the voters. If people are not voting for who they want to represent them, how can we be sure that their interests are being represented? My fear is that with this new interview process, there will be an increasing disconnect between the students and their representatives. Taking away democracy is not a way to fix democracy. There are so many examples where democracy is revoked to solve a simple problem because that's the easiest course of action. We cannot take the easy way out. We have to fight for what is right. This issue is bigger than anyone in this room right now, whether they know it or not. We cannot make a system balanced just for the sake of being fair. This is high school, where people need to learn that not everything will be handed to them on a silver platter. They need to work for it. If we instill in the minds of our students that democracy is not necessary, imagine the implications that we'll have when they get into the real world and start contributing to our society. While the previous system is flawed in many ways, it must stay, and not just for this year. We shouldn't give positions to just to people who the current officers think are experienced, because that closes the door on anyone not in a special group who wants to make a difference. People complain about the old system being a popularity contest, while dismissing that actual politics is all about being relatable and likable. Another crucial aspect of student government, making a speech, is also being removed in the future. Our leaders must appeal to the people, not be appointed through a system that the student body overwhelmingly disagrees with. I commend the leaders of student government for considering putting this decision up to a referendum in order to make sure we are preserving the will of the people. However, I am standing before you to request that the new student government constitution at JFK be explored to see if it instills the values that we want to teach our students: democracy, freedom, and self-growth. There are plenty of ways to solve this issue, and we can't give up on what we have. Thank you.
My name is Janet Herman. I'm at 49 Knickerbocker Road in Plainview, and I'm here really representing myself and my son, who is a recent graduate last year, who is on student government. I'm not going to read the letter he sent me. I will be forwarding that to you because we would be here for probably 45 minutes if I did so. But I had printed out a couple of those little snippets, and just one thing that stuck out in mind is that he wrote to me, "The student constitution states that we are the students of Plainview Bethpage John F. Kennedy High School and do hereby establish a student government to ensure students' rights, protect student privileges, and define student responsibilities," and so forth. Zachary states, "I want to make clear that we, the student, refers to the 1,500-plus students with different opinions and interests who wander the halls of JFK School 5 days every week, not the 26 students who voted on this amendment." Now, if I understood correctly, there was not 26 students, and that concerns me. In addition to that, although a lot of kids are run unopposed, my son also ran unopposed, and we have that same problem. I have that problem with the president of MAPOB. We have the same problem with MAPOB. We have the problem with SEPTA, PTA, and the Board of Education election that's coming up. It's a community issue, so we really need to think about this for the community. In terms of being run unopposed, he said, "One concern was many students running unopposed. Keep in mind that I won my position unopposed my senior year of high school. I understand the fear here. The problem is not the students not wanting to go through the electoral process, rather students not having time or potentially wanting to do the work that being a representative entails. In order to solve this problem, the student government must put a huge focus on figuring out how to pique student interest in running and put an emphasis on understanding the educational value student government has." I was concerned that because he spoke of all of the people, and when I listened to the kids talk, they were amazing. But they referred to it as a club, and it's not really a club, it's student government. They talked about if one of the members had not run unopposed, they wouldn't have had that person. And again, this is part of an election process that they need to learn, and I don't think we should strip that from the kids. I think that everybody does want to say in the vote, and yes, they are scared, but the bottom line is public speaking, it takes time to develop. We're now going to learn that in school, which is fantastic, something that I think is long overdue. But I think sometimes it takes time to get there. My son was unopposed only in his senior year. He did not do this the other 3 years. Quite frankly, it's probably because he didn't quite have the nerve to do so. He gained that over time. We have to let them have that time to do that, and we can't keep electing the same kids over and over again, even if they're working very hard 1 year. So that's all I wanted to say.
Son, give the letter.
Yeah. Hi, Jared Gerke, 145 Manor Street. My concern with this whole student government thing, having worked on a number of political campaigns over the years, is that it's very, 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 very tough to get college-age students to vote every year. I've gone to their doors with absentee ballot requests for them to bring to college, and they've said no thank you and sent me away. And I'm concerned that the message we're sending, if their voice doesn't count in high school, their voice is not going to count in real government, and I'm concerned that we're sending that message, and I don't think we should. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Fran Rappaport. I reside at 70 Northern Parkway West in Plainview, and I am the PTA president for the high school. And I'm here to speak about the change in student government selection at the high school. In student government, the students are responsible for electing the students who they choose to represent them, just as the POB community has the responsibility to elect trustees to represent us on the Board of Ed. The current proposal for selecting student government officers runs, counters everything our students are taught in their social studies classes. One of the most important lessons students learn is the importance of voting in a democracy. And moreover, allowing students who did not go through an election process, sorry, I'm just nervous, to put this on their resumes would be misleading to colleges. The name student government or student council implies that each student were elected by their peers, not appointed by interviews with a handful of students. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. Susan Naptol, 20 Clearwater Drive. I don't really have anything prepared. I wrote letters. You probably all read them already. So more of the same. The kids were wonderiful. They presented their case beautifully. I really commend them for that. Unfortunately, I think that they had the best of intention that sort of went awry. I thought he clapped. I was like, ooh, really? Thank you. In looking at their constitution, almost every section of their constitution reiterated the word election. Election, 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 election. In one foul swoop, they basically threw out their whole constitution. So I don't get it. Their constitution basically doesn't exist anymore. Once again, best of intention, but it just fell flat. This is the way every student government has run since I think each one of us was in grade school and on up, if they had elections in grade school. And to say that it's a popularity contest, I think it's really selling our students short. It's just very disheartening. I think these students from 14 to 18 are on the cusp of voting in elections in local, in statewide, in nationwide elections, and to teach them that their vote doesn't count, their vote doesn't matter, is teaching apathy. And when I told my kids about this, my oldest is a teacher in Queens in middle school. My kids all did AP history here. Her first thought was, what did Buckman say? I said, well, Buckman retired. She goes, oh, my God, if he knew, he would be screaming from the rafters. It's just so disheartening, and it's everything that we are teaching our children. It goes against every lesson that I think every one of us in this room and up sitting in your seats, it goes against everything we teach our children. Their vote counts. Our vote counts. The vote matters. And also, who is appointing these students? Isn't it a popularity contest? But now you're, instead of saying it's 1,000 kids, now it's just 15 kids choosing. It's the whole thing. It just counters everything that we stand for as a nation, as a country. It goes against the democratic process. It goes against every civic lesson we teach our children. I am just aghast as a town. It's embarrassing. The whole thing, I mean, once again, best of intentions, but I think that we as the adults in the room, it's time for us to come in and just say, thank you for your thoughts. We understand where you're coming from, but thank you.
Thank you.
I wasn't planning on speaking. My name is Jessica Corbett, 222 Floral Avenue. I just want to say that I am very impressed with the kids that came here tonight to speak. They were very eloquent. They shared their point of view very clearly and concisely. They did not change my mind, however. I want to, you know, go on the books as saying that I think taking the right of the students to vote is anti-democratic, and I don't think they knew the collateral damage that they were doing. I don't know that they had enough discussion with adults about what was happening and what would happen as a result of taking the vote away. So I would hope that they'll go back to their advisors and to the principal, Mr. Murray, and get some more feedback about other changes that they could still make, because it's still year three and amendments can still be made. And I hope to see that, because I really would hate to see the vote being taken away. Thank you.
My name is Judy Brenner. I live at 15 Elmwood Court in Plainview, and I'm representing myself. I also wasn't prepared to speak, but I just wanted to say one thing I was really swayed by, or it was interesting to see all the statistics, all the numbers that the students showed us. But I think that the number that was missing were the number of students who would no longer have the presence in there by not having a vote. So there was a column missing from all of those slides, and I think that that needs to be expressed. I don't know how many students exactly there are per class, but if we went from somewhere from 400 down to a very, very small number, I think that's a missing element. And I think that even whether you are a president, vice president, secretary, et cetera, or a voter, you're part of our government, and that has to be expressed. Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to add one more thing, because Mr. Davis and Ms. Naftal had, you know, mentioned that this was sort of bigger than just our student government. And I do agree with that. And I think back to when our high school students organized that Parkland Memorial, and what a proud moment it was for us, because it allowed us to show the world that we have these great, engaged students who are, taking a stand, and this sort of conflicts with that. And as a community member and as a board member, I don't know if I want Plainview Old Bethpage to be the only school district in Nassau County that doesn't allow its students to vote.
The good thing, school is not over tomorrow. So I'm sure there'll be some more conversations. It is. This is life's lessons. These are the things that we learn on a day-to-day basis. We've made mistakes in judgment, and we thought we've done the right thing, and people have come forward. We've all done it. But it's a growth. And hearing what people have to say and everything else, that right to vote is probably one of the most important things this democracy has to offer.
But there's also...
Go ahead.
Just to summarize what the kids said, yep, is that this year... The officers will be selected through the election process. So as a superintendent, I am charging the student body and the officers to really express that it was the apathy that caused you to even think of something else and see what happens. You now have engaged your community. I expect to see a vibrant election this year, and maybe if we do, we won't even have to revisit that issue again. I'm challenging you to really bring this back and charge your community. If you don't get involved, you may lose the right to vote. And that is so important on a national level, because the right to vote, people fought and died for the right to vote. And when that's taken away, you change what you have as a government. And so that's important. Take that back, please.
Thank you. Please have a motion on routine business. Susan, second, Renell. Any hold separations? All in favor? So moved. We have 7 items of new business. May I have a motion for a resolution for appointment of officers for the May 21st, 2019 annual meeting, budget vote, and election? Lauren, second. Debbie, any discussion? All in favor? So moved. May have the approval of the Board of Education for our new meetings for the 2019.
We're going to hold on the calendar.
Okay.
Yes.
There was an issue that was brought to our attention with the scheduling of Founders Day, and so we'll have to revisit that.
Okay.
It's very difficult to find a date to have board meetings.
Okay. May I have a motion for the approval of the Nassau County Board of Elections Memorandum of Agreement? Susan, second. Ronell, any discussion? All in favor? So moved. May I have a motion for the 2019-2020 Staff Development Catalog Proposals? Ronell, second. Debbie, any discussion? All in favor? May I have a motion, please, for the NWEA Adaptive Reading Assessment? Ronell, second. Debbie, any discussion? All in favor? So moved. We're holding the, this one you want to hold also?
No.
Okay. No. May I have approval of the 2019-2020 academic calendar, back to school night, parent teacher conferences, marking periods, et cetera, on the motion? Seth, second. Lauren, any discussion? Debbie.
I have a question. The middle and high school conferences seem to be very early. Is that the case? It just seems like the high school conferences are just a month after school begins.
Right, intentionally, so we can give feedback before we give a grade.
And also for the drop leveling down.
Yeah, drop ads. We had a whole thing.
It's a very short time to be able to give parents.
And it's difficult for the every other day classes. I realize that. But for all the other things to fall in place, the ad drops and all the other things, it is. Okay. Yeah.
All in favor? So moved. May I have a motion, please, for curriculum writing for the 2019-2020 school year? Seth, second. Jody, any discussion? All in favor? So moved. May I have a motion, please, to go into executive session for personnel and real estate and negotiation? Go ahead.
The writing, the curriculum writing?
Sorry,
Is that K through 12 or is that K through 4?
Which one? Writing?
The last one.
K to 4. All kindergarten through fourth grade, full year.
Public speaking for K to 4?
No, where are you looking at that far? On curriculum writing? Oh, no, no, no. That's just... It represents some of the curriculum writing represents some of these things. You'll see a public speaking. Thanks.
Don't forget tomorrow night is Meet the Candidates Night, 7 o'clock, POB Middle School. Thank you.